There are new calls this week for Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren to run for president and challenge Hillary Clinton from the left. Warren is well known as a champion of the middle class and as a nemesis of Wall Street. She writes about those things in her book, A Fighting Chance, which is out this week in paperback. She joins us in the studio to talk about it. Senator Warren, welcome back to Here and Now.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
And you talk a lot in this book about the financial crisis of 2008. And I wonder, looking back now, just about 7 years later, who you think is at fault for that crisis?
Well, let's face it. The biggest financial institutions loaded up on risk. And they did it in two ways. They sold mortgages to people all across this country that were designed to explode. I mean, just, you know, and they knew it at the time they were selling it.
But people took out those mortgages.
Oh, people absolutely took out those mortgages. And some people knew those mortgages and understood them. Of course, lots didn't. And then they took all those mortgages, not having made enough money. They packaged them together and then sold slices of those mortgages to, to retirement funds, to townships all around. It was each little mortgage, they were almost like selling grenades with the pins pulled out and then putting them in big packages and selling boxes of grenades with the pins pulled
out.
So
it was the
bank's,
that was
the kind of risk.
It was the bank's fault is what you're saying.
Let's face it, it was. But I never want to let them off the hook. The regulators who looked the other way while the banks did it. The banks were raking in the profits doing this, and the regulators, in effect, were saying, hey, la, 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 I can't hear you. There's no problem here.
What about the people who say the government encouraged a culture of homeownership to too great a degree and that it got people to want to get into those kinds of mortgages that maybe otherwise wouldn't have?
Well, you know, as I talk about in the book, when you've got steady mortgages, when people qualify by showing that they can really pay and they've, you know, usually put up some kind of down payment and that the payment is manageable, home ownership can be a way for a family to save, a way for a family to build economic security. Keep in mind that in this country, the number one retirement plan is not some fancy 401k. It's pay off your home and live on your Social Security. Mm. It's count on the fact that your home will be there if you end up having to go into a nursing home. Homes are the number one way that wealth is transmitted from one generation to another in the middle class.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing, do you think?
Well, it's a good thing when it works. It's a terrible thing when a financial institution comes along and says, I can take that impulse, I can take what you've learned over generations in America, and I can twist that around and trick you into taking on a mortgage that looks too good to be true because it is too good to be true.
So now, in 2015, have we solved the problems that led to that crisis, or how much have we solved those problems with Dodd-Frank and other things, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, your baby, if you will? Does that do enough to stop something like what happened in 2008 from happening again?
So I talk a lot in the book about setting up the consumer agency and the basic idea behind it. The basic idea is that you shouldn't be able to cheat people. I know that sounds pretty shocking, but you know, we had all these consumer protection laws, but the problem was we didn't have any government agencies for whom it was a first priority to enforce them. The laws were all spread out among a bunch of different agencies. So the idea behind the consumer agency was put them all in one place and then make that agency, give them the tools to be able to hold the banks accountable, to stop the worst practices, and hold them responsible for doing that. Now, here's the good news. That agency has really worked. Here it is. It's only been up and running about 4 years now. It's already forced the largest financial institutions to return about $5 billion directly to customers that they cheated. It's returned homes to service members who banks had cheated them out of. It's helping level the playing field. But don't kid yourself. The financial institutions that were too big to fail in 2008, are you ready for it? They're about a third bigger
How did that happen? That even after what we went through as a country in 2008, that we are allowing that to go on as you see it?
Money talks. Never forget that, especially in Washington. Boy, is that the message. The biggest financial institutions, remember what they did. first they load up on risks and they manage to get their regulators to look the other way. They crash the economy. They get a bailout from the American taxpayer. And then they turn around and instead of saying, oh my God, we're sorry, we did this the wrong way, instead, they started spending more than $1 million a day lobbying against financial reforms, trying to weaken them as much as possible. Looks like you're going to turn to a place in the book where I
talk about
this. I want to ask
you about because this is interesting. One of the things you say in the book here is financial reform was complicated and the bank lobbyists used a clever technique. They bombarded the members of Congress with complex arguments filled with obscure terms. Whenever a congressman pushed back on an idea, the lobbyist would explain that although the congressman seemed to be making a good point, he didn't really understand the complex financial system. And keep in mind, the lobbyist would tell the congressman that if you get this wrong, you're going to bring down the global economy.
Mm-hmm.
Do members of Congress bear some responsibility for perhaps not understanding the financial system enough, not being able to question these bank lobbyists and know what they're saying so that they don't get, it sounds like what you're saying, tricked into allowing the banks to get away with things that they shouldn't?
Of course they do. This is about who Washington works for. And, you know, right now, Washington works for those who hire armies of lobbyists. And that means, in this case, the biggest financial institutions. You know, I wrote this book because I think Washington ought to work for real people. I think it ought to work for kids who are trying to get an education. That means refinancing our student loans. I think it ought to work for seniors. And that means making sure that Social Security is going to be there for generations to come and to lift the benefits that we offer under Social Security. It ought to be there to help build a future, not just for some of our kids, but for all of our kids.
So when you say that and you write this book,
yes,
a lot of people hear that and say, why isn't she running for president?
I'm out here fighting this fight. I'm fighting it every single day in the United States Senate. I mean,
but you don't want to do that from the White House.
I want to fight the fight right now, this minute. I have a bill pending to refinance student loan debt. I think it is obscene that the United States government is making profits off the backs of our kids, and I'm out there fighting for this bill. I have a bill pending right now in Washington to try to put more money into the National Institutes of Health. It's an idea that would generate another $6.4 billion in research. Research that could help us cure Alzheimer's or diabetes.
But you've got a lot of people now who want you to take all those ideas and run in 2016.
I'm working on those ideas. I'm pushing those ideas forward. I'm fighting for those ideas every single day.
But you don't want to run still.
I do not.
Do you think that it would be better for the party, though, if Hillary Clinton has a challenger in the primary?
Now, come on. Hillary Clinton has not declared.
Assuming that she's going to run, do you think it'd be better if she just sails straight through to the nomination or if she has a challenger from the left?
What I care about is that everyone who runs for president, who runs for any national office right now, talks about this core set of issues, about what kind of a country we are and what kind of a future we're building. For me, this is really personal. You know, I grew up in a family that we had a lot of economic ups and downs. And my dad ended up as a janitor. My mom worked a minimum wage job at Sears. There was no money for college for a kid like me. And I graduated from college because I could go to a commuter college that cost $50 a semester. How can college cost $50 a semester? Because the American taxpayers were helping support those public institutions to say to any kid, hey, look, if you work hard, you play by the rules, you really get out there, you're going to have an opportunity. You're going to have a fighting chance. We've turned away from that world, and it's time that we build it again. It's time that we say to all our kids, you can have a fighting chance too.
Would you be interested in the Democratic leader in the Senate job that Harry Reid has said he's going to leave next year? He's going to not run for reelection.
Nope.
No, not interested.
Nope.
Do you support Chuck Schumer in that position?
I think it's pretty clear that Chuck is going to be the leader. And I, you know, I talk about this in my book, that Chuck was one of the first people to support the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. and to get out there and fight for it. I remember the very first press conference that he helped put together, where we brought this idea up and then got out there and started fighting for it. He's been there.
You don't think he's too close to Wall Street?
Look, I worry about everyone being too close to Wall Street. Let's be clear. You know, when you're talking about Washington, the wind only blows from one direction. And that's Wall Street's direction, Wall Street's money. But there are people who have said, I'm going to fight for middle-class families. I'm going to get out there and make this happen. Chuck was very much there on the consumer agency, setting it up, building it, protecting it, very much there on student loans, very much there on Social Security. These are powerful issues, and we fought side by side. I think he's going to be terrific on that.
Senator Elizabeth Warren, her new book is called A Fighting Chance. Senator, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.